So now I will introduce Mary Kate. Yes, Mary Kate, you're up. So Mary Kate is a Francis Perkins scholar, and she's an artist. And one day I was having a very random conversation with someone in our class, and we were talking about everyone's writing and, well, Mary Kate's. And the person said to me, Mary Kate's writing is just like her painting. And I found out that she paints very evocative, emotional pieces, and that's exactly how her writing is. She is the mother of 4 grown children. She's a registered nurse, and she writes very well about family situations and just really emotionally evocative things. So please welcome Mary Kate.
Thank you. This is an excerpt from a story I wrote called Not So Sweet, and it sort of jumps in with the character Courtney and her son Declan. So I will just start. By the next Thanksgiving, Mike had left the marriage, the family, and the Berkshires for a size 2 business associate in Burlington, who apparently I would really like if I only would give her, Camilla, a chance. I didn't care anymore about hiding the bottle. It no longer hid behind the china set. Sitting out on the counter in the diffused light of a winter's afternoon, it was a ray of hope. Declan was still home. I was trying to keep him together, too. Most days he wouldn't get up until 4 in the afternoon. By that time, I had started drinking. It was on one of those coldest nights of winter, late, after a full night of drinking, that it happened. I wanted more and knew there was another bottle of wine somewhere. It was in the car. I went out hoping it hadn't froze. Back in the kitchen, my hands were cold and numb, and the bottle slipped. It smashed on the tile floor. My heart sank. I got on my knees and hands and pushed the larger chunks of glass out of the way and, like a desperate dog, lapped up the red wine. My hands slipped and my face slid across the floor and a piece of glass sliced my cheek. Declan was in his room and heard the smashing bottle. He came downstairs and into the kitchen. "Mom, what the hell? Are you okay?" I was still on the floor. "Your face is bleeding." He bent down and picked me up. He sat me on the kitchen stool and wiped my face with a warm, damp dish towel. He put the kettle on and cleaned the floor. He sat me down on the living room couch and made tea. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Too many days of this is my last day. The next day, in the dank basement of a Baptist church, with the cheap coffee brewing and an oversized percolator, I said, "I'm Courtney, and I'm an alcoholic." Declan wasn't far behind. Late the following spring, on a rain-soaked Saturday night going 85 miles per hour, he careened into a gas station, barely missing the pumps, and crashed head-on into the steel pole supporting the neon Shell sign. Lying in a deep puddle clear across the station, the sign weakly flashed, "Hell." The cruiser's lights spun red and white in all directions. Pulled from the wreck, Declan came out swinging. A cop's face hit, Declan face down, crushed into the pavement. Wrists pinched tight by zip ties. After a quick assessment by the ambulance crew, it was presumed, head-on collision, drugs and alcohol aside, that he was in fine shape. He was rushed not to the emergency room, but to jail. Wet, bloody, and batshit crazy. At the arraignment a few days later, I sat on a dark-stained bench in the back. Declan stood up front in front of the judge. He had scabs on his chin and burn marks on his wrists. The judge read out the charges: operating while under the influence of alcohol, driving to endanger, assaulting an officer, resisting arrest, and damage of private property. "Do you understand the charges being served?" "Yes, Your Honor," said Declan. He no longer had a license issued by the state of Massachusetts and wouldn't for the foreseeable future. Being this his first offense, he was given the option of 1 year probation or 30 days in a rehab followed by a year in a sober living house. He went to rehab. He was 30 days sober and, in his words, 15 pounds heavier. I laughed. I was 5 months clean. Someone at rehab had given him a piece of maple sugar candy. He wanted to tell me a memory. You know, Mom, how you're supposed to eat candy or sweet things in the beginning to curb the cravings? He said. I did. He started to tell me the story again about the lice, the maple sugar candy, the marbles, and the feeling of being happy. That overwhelming feeling of being happy and being loved, his one memory. I remembered the lice and the maple sugar and the curls falling onto the grass. I remembered his room and the stuffed animals and the sheets and the marbles. I didn't remember the feeling of being happy or love or being loved. I started to cry. I'm sorry, I said. I am sorry for that. I am.